Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, on this Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, and our producer this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Well, what's up?
Man, nothing much. As always, that first hour usually flies by.
It did, didn't it?
It definitely did, man.
It's in the taillights now, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's move forward to the second hour and start off with our good friend over in Venice, Louisiana, Captain Mike Jeffcoat with RJ's Hunting and Fishing. Let's see what he's up to this morning. Mike, good morning. What's going on?
Not much, Mickey. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Me too. You bet. No, it's just spitting a little over here. Wind blowing about 15, but it's all good. About 60 degrees, so we're going to see. I got that big bunch of your law listeners all from Houston area and Crawford Collective. Got a bunch of guys down here. We fix to go see what we can get done. Yeah. Big cookout at the camp last night. Ready to go see what we can do with these rubber lips. They fired up about these rubber lips. So I told them, I said, y'all should have stayed in Trinity Bay. Sound like me. Oh, no, we need to come down here and fish at you camp. I said, all right.
Yeah, conditions got to be right for that open stuff up my way. You know, the wind's down. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same way here, but the wind's not down. And I really and got some of them on to catch trout. So I really don't know what my game plan is yet. I'm going to be honest with you.
Like you're pretty good at winging it. You can figure it out. You're good at it.
The you know, forecast ain't 10%, but it's, like I said, it's just kind of spitting right now. And I hate when it does that because I seem to get more wet when it's just spitting than if it's pouring down rain. So it seems like everything sneaks in on you. Well, it's just spitting around like it is right now.
Right.
But hopefully it'll get on through. Y'all cleared off over there yet?
Oh, yeah, we've been clear.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we were.
We missed that rain.
We
missed
were clear
the rain.
And dry yesterday. We had no rain at all, and it's all good.
There was some rain east of us yesterday. Rusty's down heavily with his big bunch. I mean, it got blue on that side of the river yesterday. They had a little weather over that way, but we never got any of it. Like I said, it's got the roads wet this morning, so we'll see. I talked to some of my guys that got fish yesterday, and they stood on the redfish yesterday, so I kind of figured it would. You know, pretty nice day here yesterday, so. Light winds and got about 70s. Don't have any offshore reports. I seen an overnight boat yesterday that had fished, I guess, Thursday night. That didn't fare too well, so I just don't have a report on offshore. And like I said, a lot of guys are shutting down already. You know, it's getting that time of year. And spend some time with family and come January, them offshore guys, we'll get back serious after it. So, them old wahoo will show up over here. I talked to some duck hunters yesterday, and duck hunting got tough over here for some reason. There's a lot of birds. Yeah, a lot of birds, but they're staying in their refuge. And, you know, you can't blame them once they figure that out. Now, there is some open water birds, so. I talked to somebody hunted pretty much every day this past week, and he's been hunting them open bays that got grass in it. And they really killed a lot of pintails, killed some geese and stuff like that.
Right.
Boars hunting the marsh, they're not having real good success in the marsh. And the wild rice this year is just, it's overtaking this place. I mean, there's no place there's not wild rice. So that makes it a little difficult too. But
well, y'all,
trout bite's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, y'all close this weekend on duck hunting.
Yeah, we close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we closed last weekend.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I talked to Scott one day this past week, and he's got a bunch of cranes already. He said he got a build and probably got 5 to 10 thousand cranes there. I said, I want to see that. Yeah, I'm in.
Boy, they really piled in this year, too, man, there for a while. I heard them every day for like a week where they were just getting here. You know, they were up real high. You know, they'll see the guff, and then they'll start circling and filtering back and finding them the food. And there's got to be a bunch of them this year because I heard them, man, they're fishing there for about a week. That's all you heard was cranes up high, way up nose zone, man.
Yeah, I love it, too. There's not a better sound to me, Harley, than a bull elk bugling, but. Rusty said the same thing at Beaumont. You know, that's the problem with Beaumont. You know, you can't shoot him over there where he's at.
No.
So he's on the wrong side of 10. But he said that ranch over there is just loaded. Them hay fields are just piled. So, but they're in the safe zone. So.
Nothing like a good crane hunt, man. And
there's nothing like
ribeye in the sky, baby. Boy, I love to make fajitas out of them.
I've never done fajitas.
Man.
Well, I just grill mine up. So.
Just, you know, season them up like you would a ribeye steak and then go ahead and sear
right.
them on both sides real good on a hot mesquite grill. We like to do it down in South Texas over that mesquite.
Right.
And then, you know, they're not near done yet. They're about halfway cooked, and then I'll pull them off, and then I'll slice them up into, you know, fajita pieces like you'd
right.
put on a tortilla. And then I'll take a big aluminum pan, and I'll put all those pieces in there, and I'll have a couple of sticks of butter, a can of beer, cilantro and jalapenos and everything mixed in with it, onion and bell pepper, and cover it in foil and put it back on the grill and finish it off that way and sweat her back and then just take the foil off and let everybody make their own fajita tortillas and everything out of it. It's a big hit. They said, man, this tastes just like beef. I said, it's as close as you're going to get. And to come from
yep.
a bird, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and too, you know, and all the listeners that are listening that haven't cooked it, you can mess it up.
You can. Yeah, right. You can mess it up like anything.
You can mess it up to the point that this stuff is boot leather. So
well, because they overcook it. Yeah, they overcook the stuff, you know. Fowl, you know, that's the biggest mistake people make with duck is they overcook it.
Oh, absolutely.
And backstrap.
You know.
Yeah.
There you go. Backstrap, same way. Bless her heart, Darlene, when we first got married, she'd kill it two more times for me. I'd say, girl, he's dead. Don't you cook way too hard here. Ease off a little bit. So, anyhow.
You know, you cook that backstrap just right after you marinate it and tenderize it and everything. You can actually cut it with a fork if you cook
Absolutely.
It right.
Absolutely.
It's tender as it can be, yep. man. Nectar from the gods.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, it's, you know, and when I was growing up, we cut our hams and everything into steaks. And,
right.
You know, and fried them. And mother and them shoulders, they put them shoulders in the oven, can of cream and mushrooms, and salt, pepper it up, and I'm telling you, when it come out of that oven, they could pick up that bone and all the meat fall off everything, the blade and all. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. You just pull that whole thing out, it just all the meat falls off, and all you got is that bone and the clavicle.
Yep. And so it's neat stuff. So, Mickey, I don't want to cut you short this morning, but I got 17 guys.
Oh, you're good, man. I just, you know.
I got to.
Throw me out the pasture, bud. I'm used to it. Don't worry about it.
Well, and like I said, I'm fixed to unload, and it's still spitting here, so I'll find me a rain jacket. So
yeah, it's real light because I'm looking at radar, and I can't see anything. All the heavy stuff's way east of you this morning.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I looked at the radar early this morning, too, and it's the same thing. And just it's not showing anything. Like I said, all it's doing is spitting.
Yeah, well, you'll be all right.
Yeah. So,
Well, go out there and wall them out, man. Bow them up, get them all tired, and then come back and drink whiskey and sleep like a rock tonight.
They done a pretty good job that last night.
So. All right, Mike. Hey, throw them out some info if somebody wants to come hook up with you.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting and Fishing.
First night at the lodge, everybody got to go to thebottom.com, baby.
You know, I mean, and it was funny because I walked outside and all 17 of them standing out yard looking. So, anyhow, have a good one.
Hey, go get them, Tiger. See you, man. All right. Bye. All right, that's Mike Jeffcoat over in Venice, Louisiana. You know, getting back to talking about that wild game, you know, everybody cooks different, you know, even me with all experience I've had cooking game and everything, I'm always looking for that extra edge on perfecting it and making it even better. But a lot of it goes into preparation, the way you take care of the meat when you harvest it. And then, you know, then once you get it in the kitchen and, you know, I like to marinate my game for one night in the refrigerator anyway. You know, whether you mix it up with put a little red wine in it and soak it with a little milk and a little bit of beer to add that, you know, enhance that flavor a little bit and tenderize that meat, break it down a little bit. And then once you pull it out, you know, you got all your, especially backstrap or duck, you know, it's already cut up in the size you want it for cooking purposes. And whether you're making roll-ups for the pit out of it or you're going to, you know, deep fry it or skillet fry it or whatever, you know, always tenderize it, you know, get the old big hammer out and go to work on it. And that's what's good about the Belleville Meat Market. When I go there, I'll just have my back straps. I'll keep them whole for them, and they'll cut them up into cutlets, and they'll run them through their tenderizing machine, and then they vacuum seal them. And then I know what I got when I thaw them out. You know, I'll just thaw it out of the freezer, and then I'll do my marinating thing, and then I'm ready to go to work with them. Whether I fry them or you make them, you know, make my roll-ups for the pit with them, that's always a big hit, especially ball game time this time of year. You know, some fresh backstrap that Ted Nugent goes so crazy over, the beloved backstrap from that majestic Flight of the Arrow that went right into his pump station with a legit kill. I love his lingo. Well, anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a break already. It's, man, time's flying by this morning, but it's all good here. We love what we do here at the Outdoor Show, without a doubt. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. All right, let's head down G-Town way here at 518 in the Bayou City and see what's up with our good friend, Captain Michael Marquez. We just call him Sharky. Hey, Sharky, what's up, man?
Good morning, my brother. How we doing?
Oh, I couldn't be better. How are you, my friend?
Man, I couldn't be better. I'm on my way to the boat to get to go fishing and do what we love. So,
isn't it a tough life? Somebody's got to do it, though. I'm glad you're keeping things going for us out there, brother.
Hey, man, that's right. I saw your boat there at FCJ.
Yep, I'm getting a new horse.
Getting a new horse, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. It's about that time to swap out.
Yeah, it is. Man, oh, well, Fernando, those guys are the best, man.
Oh, they are, man. They are. No, I saw it. I saw it on your boat yesterday, and boy, she looks pretty.
Is it white or silver?
It's silver.
Is it? They got me another silver one. I love those silver motors, and they're hard to get, you know.
It's gorgeous.
Because it kind of looks good with my wrap, you know, the colors and everything, blue and stuff.
Oh, it looks good.
Well, that's
man.
Good because I thought I was going to end up with a white one, you know, because everything's going white.
Keep clean, I'll tell you that.
The white is?
Oh, yeah. I got one white one, and I'm lying to you. We got three white ones, and then we have three silver ones, and man, those three white ones are, whew, they look pretty when they look pretty, but man, it's hard to keep those suckers clean.
Yeah, it is. That's what I call all my other Hondas. I always call them hi-ho silver, like the Lone Ranger had, you know, his horse.
Oh, yeah. Well, it looks
sweet engines, man. I couldn't believe the fuel economy when I switched over. I lost nothing in horsepower, whole shot, top end, or any of it, but I gained 50% better fuel economy. That was just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. The first couple weeks, I was over at the gas pump trying to fill that sucker up, you know, thinking that,
My tank's got an air bubble or something in it.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on here? I mean, I'm not spending anything on fuel. What is happening? So, those guys are great. You're going to be super stoked about the new horse that's pushing your carriage, because that thing is, it's pretty. It's pretty. But guess what? The fish are biting.
Yeah, they are. But were those flounder pictures I saw the other day on Facebook, was that current for, you know, here recently?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Y'all did that at nighttime?
Three nights ago, and we did it at nighttime.
Those were toads.
Yeah. We had a 6'2 and a 6'8 that night. We fished for an hour and a half.
Fat flatties, man.
I'm telling you, man. But, you know, I just got tired of fighting the crowd. And so last week I went three nights in a row. I wasn't expecting an on-fire bite any one of those three nights. And right after that sun went down, you know, not out there being, you know, super late or anything, but, you know, around 8 o'clock, man, it just seems that tide's moving and those fish are hungry. We're fishing well lit up areas, and I think it has them flounders confused. I think they think it's daytime, but they're just hungry. I'm telling you. I don't know what it is, but I'm happy about it. I mean, we were whacking on them so good. I was thinking, man, I'd post a little open boat trip going after some big flounder at night, because this is just too much fun.
I'm telling
you. That's too much fun. I think I might do it, but man, I'll tell you what, we fished the jetties yesterday, I believe it was.
Yeah, you told me you were going to try the jetties for trout.
Yes, and we caught everything but trout. We caught slot redfish and sheep's head and a big, you know, big black drum and pup drum. But that water, now, of course, with that wind picked up, it's going to be a little bit, it's not going to be nearly as green as it was yesterday, or the day before. But, man, I mean, we were catching some solid fish out there on the rocks. And, you know, it was 70, 80 degrees out there the other day, so it felt just like another summer day.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just throwing some shrimp up into the rocks. You know, we were able to catch redfish and all kinds of crazy stuff. So we went outside of the south and fished, you know, around the tip area and picked up a couple slots. And moved back inside the north and did some damage on some drum and sheepies, you know, right there on the inside of the north by the boat cut. And when it got slow, we were taking blue crabs and cutting them in quarters. And I was throwing them right there tight to the rocks with a little quarter-ounce knocker rig and a 1/0 kale hook. And we were picking up redfish and drum on little quarters of crab.
Wow.
So, you know, just got to keep it interesting and throw some smelly bait out there and see what happens. But the flounder bite is on fire like it's been for the past couple weeks in the channel. So I think my game plan for this morning is going to be to go out, and we've got, you know, a good bite that's supposed to be happening from 8:30 to 10:30. And so by 8:30, I hope to have the limit of flounder, and then we can just be at the jetties for that good tidal movement.
Yeah, I'm looking at the wind for you down there. The seawall showing north at 7. The north jetty showing kind of north-northeast at 15. Galveston Fishing Pier is 11. Shoals Field is 15. And the harbor side showing 17. And over at the Galveston Railroad Bridge is 14. So it's not out of control, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely doable. No, that sounds good with me. We're gonna start off, and I think I got 5 people on my boat this morning. We got all the boats going out, but we're gonna try to bust a quick limit and get out there so we can get in on that action and hopefully put a nice fillet table of fish together.
I'm sure that could probably happen today.
I hope I can feel it. Like a little bit of wind. I do.
Yeah, San Luis Pass 16, down at Terramar Beach is 12. So it's, you know, it's pretty consistent. It's anywhere from 8 to 14, 15, all up and down our upper coast up here. It's actually a little calmer down Matagorda way, believe that or
it's
not.
It's usually flip-flopped.
Yeah. So maybe that's and this wind will always lay down for you. It'll probably start tapering off about 10, 11 o'clock. And
sure.
Liable
sure.
to be just a drop-dead gorgeous afternoon.
That would be supreme. Nobody's going to complain about another gorgeous afternoon. I promise you that.
No. But the old knocker rig hanging in there for you on them rocks, huh?
Hey, the knocker rig is alive and well. It is alive and well.
That saves you a lot of time being hung up and retying leaders and making up new rigs and all that. That's it.
That video we just did on the flounder, that's what I'm doing, fishing, you know, heavily structured areas. That knocker rig, you can't beat it. What I'll do if I'm fishing live bait, in a live bait scenario, mud minnow or mullet, we're throwing a kale hook, you know, just a single kale hook on there on that knocker rig when it's real heavily structured. But when I'm fishing back inlets or, you know, areas with a lot less snags, I'll go to a treble hook,
right.
You know, a larger treble hook. And that just is going to help the hook up for the customers, you know, that maybe don't have a lot of experience feeling out that flounder bite. And, so that's what I'm bouncing back and forth, between doing. And it's pretty rare that I'll throw a treble hook way up into the rocks.
Oh yeah.
You know, unless we're sheep's head fishing or something like that. But, that kale hook seems to be the money shot for me lately. And so I'm sticking with it. And Academy's got H2O. I think they're H2O Express 1/0 and 2/0 kale hooks are 99 cents for 15 of them. So
oh,
when
really?
I see those,
that's affordable there. You bet.
Oh yeah. And they're good. I mean, they're good hooks. I've been fishing with them 2 years and haven't had one completely break on me. Unless it was user error, me pulling that thing out of a fish's mouth, you know? So,
you know, I'm even seeing we're seeing a lot of big sheephead up my way now too, you know.
Oh, are you?
Winter. Yeah, we're catching them on hardware, you know, while we're trout fishing.
Wow.
Big old gnarly ones, you know, 7-pounders.
So I'm curious, when you hook one of them bad boys, what does that fight, you know, what can you compare that fight with? What do you think that you have on the line?
Well, it's kind of in between a redfish and a trout kind of feel when you first set out on it. But then once you spend 5-10 seconds with the fish pulling down and it doesn't come up, then you know pretty much. You think, well, maybe I got a black drum.
A
good sized pup drum, and it always turns out. And then naturally, if you're using a Lele or something like that with your treble hooks, your favorite bait, naturally they've smashed the hooks down on it. Because, boy, they'll bite down with those teeth and they'll take those small treble hooks and just mash two of those trebles together, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah, like it's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, stick your finger in that fish's mouth when he's good and lively. See how you like that.
That's right. You're going to end up with 9.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, but it's all good.
I was curious because we fish them and we pull them from sometimes 20 feet, you know, and so that bite is a little bit different. So when you're busting them in 2-3 foot of water, I'm sure, you know, they can't dive as much. So I was curious what it kind of felt like.
Yeah, you don't get that deep dive out of them. Now when we're fishing ledges, then you know right off the bat because they'll do the deep dive thing. You know, when you're fishing a 7-9 foot drop off or something, then you pretty much know right off the bat. But a lot of good trout fishermen have been fooled, man. They'll be fishing with mirror lures waiting, and they'll hook one up. And said, all right, boys, really? And I got the one I've been looking for. And then
That's right.
They get it up there close and go, oh, my goodness, what is this?
Yeah, boy, yep. You catch a 6-7 pound sheephead, you better hold on for dear life. I mean,
yeah, on a trout ride, fish. Yeah, with 10-pound line, 12-pound line. Said, look at him.
What do I got here? That's right.
That's well, cool, man. I'm going to let you get rolling and get all your boats going and wish you all the best out there today. Hope the weather cooperates. That wind stays down somewhat. So
absolutely. That would be a big deal.
Get your licks in. Target your species.
We're going to see if we can go live today.
Oh, real quick before I let you go, for the flounder run this year, how would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Okay, I would say that this year is better than the last, for me, the last 2 years. So I would say probably an 8.
An 8? There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, an 8 is a solid number. I don't want to get too crazy with it and start throwing out 9 or 10, but it's been a very productive flounder season for me at least. And, man, last year was slow. You asked me about last year.
Last year was.
Like a 5, you know, I've had 3 days last year versus I've had 50 days this year where it's just, you know,
sure,
a solid bite. So I would say 8.5, you know, somewhere in there, 8, 8.5. It's been a really productive year.
Great.
But I need to go to that. If that's where you're getting at, I need to go to that that one in Texas City they got.
Yeah.
It's on the.
Yeah, they're going to have one of those scoping meetings. Yeah, I think so. You can go to TPNW's website and they give you the dates on all the scoping meetings.
Okay. That's what I need to do. I need to go to that thing and kind of voice the opinion, man. If we don't stand up for it, you know.
Who will?
Who
that's
else
it.
Is?
It's up to us. You got it.
Yeah. I promise a whole bunch of, you know, I can't picture a whole bunch of recreational guys. You know, maybe getting together by the hundreds and storming in there for that. So us charter guys need to stand up for everybody and say, hey, this is what we believe, and that's that.
I know it. All right, well, cool. All right, throw them out that number and web address somebody wants to get with you, and hey, even shop for some monster apparel for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. So they can check out our website, Outcast Fishing, with no G at the end. charters.com. You can click whichever boat you want to go out. I personally run the Contender, and you can schedule your trip right there on the website. And then if you want some monster fishing gear, you're more than welcome. Hop on our website, Monster Fishing. That's monsterfishin.com. We've got new hunting line that we just released, hoodies, buffs, fishing gloves. We've got something for the whole family this holiday, so be
cool.
Sure to hop on there and get to it and use the code Sharky15 and you're gonna get 15% off. How sweet is that?
Sharky15, you got it, brother.
Sharky15.
All right, well, I wish you a good day out there, and y'all good luck and be safe, and I'll talk to you next week, and I'm fixing to do a commercial about our favorite rods.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. It's a monster.
All right. It's a monster.
Have a blessed day. All right. Mickey. Thank you, my friend.
See you, buddy. Take care.
Now, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
Right, but Mickey, your story reminded me about my mother. We were bass fishing on Lake Fork. There was a couple of older gentlemen. They were probably 10 years older than my mother at the time. They were just pulling them crappie up one at a time, and it was just dead calm July morning. You know how that sound just travel over water. Well, she sits there in that boat and she said, they catch one more, I'm fixing to go over there and whip their art. And you know, my dad, mother, and my wife, we were all in the boat, we laughed. Well, they pulled up one more and then they left. And you know,
they must have heard her.
Oh, they did. I promise you, because she didn't miss any words. She raised 4 boys.
That's good stuff.
And waking up at 4 a.m. before the roosters start to crow. If you wanna hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Early bird gets a worm. You can't catch them unless you get there.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show, Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 5:41 here in the Bayou City. Let's run back down to G-Town now, little island of Tiki down there. See what's going on with Little Rad, Silver King Adventures. James, what's going on, man?
What's up, buddy?
Tell me something.
Man, I don't know, brother. I ain't got it.
You got your knocker rigs all shined up this morning, ready to go get them?
I'm knockered up, man.
Hey, man, Sharky cracks me up with them knocker rigs.
You know, we snapper fish like that. That's where that come from. It's a Florida deal. That's where I learned how to do it, yeah. I imagine it works in them rocks. I ain't never done it on the jetties, but I'm sure it works. He's catching something.
I remember when you used to be a jetty hound out there back when I first met you. You caught your first 10-pound trout on the jetties, man. Free shrimping.
I like it just, because we don't fish with bait anymore, Mickey. We quit years ago. And
I know.
You know, you and I can go out there and do it, but to take somebody out there, you know, to catching them, that's a different ball game on lures.
Yeah, it is.
You kind of got to know what you're
doing. Whole different deal, man.
For sure. I don't know, buddy. Our old fishing ain't no good.
Man, what happened?
Well, what day did I see you? Wednesday? Thursday, we caught them. We caught them pretty good waiting. I had my old Katie Roofing guys. And just had two guys. And we finally ended up catching like 16. But that's, we caught a bunch of little fish, but that's leaning on them, brother. I mean, that's standing there. You know, we waited.
Yeah, those
all
guys
day,
can fish too.
They're good. And lots of bites. You can just tell everything was off.
Right.
And we left about whatever time we left. I think we left at 2. And they were starting to go off. No, we were still catching little ones. But we had to get back. So, anyway, we blazed out of there. But, and I had to go back and re-hit. I hit some ditches in the morning. And I had to go back and redo everything again. I said, man, I know what's here, guys. It ain't like I'm guessing. I know what's living here.
Yeah.
And then get out again. We were getting out on places right out in the middle of the bay. Tide was super low. And,
right.
And you start getting some bites, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, you hit a couple, you think they're supposed to go off. And then nothing. You stand there, throw, nothing, change your angle a little bit. And somehow I just had a bite. Throw back in there, boom, there's one. But I had old drift fishing spinner deals yesterday, which that ain't why we didn't catch them. It just never was no good, Mickey. We caught maybe 10 or 12 throwbacks. I think we had 6 trout and a flounder. And we're really lucky to have them. I think Dana caught 11. I caught something everywhere I went. It's almost like everything's just scattered. We ain't got nothing bunched up like Charlie's deal.
Yeah.
You rolling in one of them tow heads out there in Matagorda, I guess, it congregates them all. And that's kind of what I was fishing, waiting. Thursday, stuff like that. Where,
right.
There's a whole bunch of fish on one little spot, but you couldn't have done it out of the boat yesterday.
I understand.
Especially with that west wind, everything's opposite direction. It was a little west. It was foggy. Then the west wind come pretty hard, and then it got nice. And then the front finally hit. The front didn't hit here till like, man, it had to be right about noon.
All right.
So, I don't know, man. Since last Saturday, a week. I've had a couple of decent days, but it ain't been no cakewalk for sure.
But I've kind of tapered off.
It has for me. And I thought the 2-week he ain't been, but that one day he went, he said, a lot of his stuff got small, just different. It's just a different bite. Well, it's weird. Like me and you talked about the other day, you got wintertime tide and you got I don't know what it was. I think it was like right at 65 degrees when I come in yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole deal. Maybe this front and then that one we got coming Monday evening, maybe that'll turn it back like it was before. We got a full moon coming up, so we should get some movement, fish movement. And maybe it'll turn it around. I'm hoping them deer are going to be moving down there where I'm headed.
Yeah, you need that front. You need that front for sure down there.
It's going to be hot Monday, my first full day of hunting, but Tuesday it's going to turn around and be cooler. And, Blaine and them, they shot two really smoker deer in that fog yesterday morning. I mean, they got up and they're socked in. And he just, he, you know, if you can't see, you can't see. But their bucks are already running does down there. It's so early. Last year it was 2 to 3 weeks behind. This year it's 2 to 3 weeks early.
And it's usually right around that Christmas week when you blaze off down
well,
there.
Well, that's why I always go then, is because the rut's usually, you know, starting to get in full swing. You know,
right.
A lot of people don't like hunting a rut because the deer won't stay still. But I like it because you're seeing deer that you normally don't ever see. You got new deer coming through your ranch, especially with being open range like that. You never know what's going to show up.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to see stuff you ain't seen.
That's right. And
well, I think it'll be good. It looks like that front. I was looking at fish weather just a minute ago. Not fish weather, buoy weather. It looks like you may have a little wind the Tuesday morning here.
Right.
And then, you know, you got about, if you're on them, you got about 2 or 3 hours to fish, what it looks like.
Yeah, ahead of that front.
Right now, I ain't on them too good.
Well, y'all had a good run down there for a month and a half. I mean, y'all been whacking on them. You know,
man,
a lot better than we have up
like,
my way.
It ain't like there ain't no fish. I think they got scattered. And I
True.
You can tell when there ain't no bite. You know, I was fishing, what were we doing Thursday? Man, I was throwing, you know, little bosses, and doing what I do, swim bait fishing, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, man, I can get bit, man. I said, something's wrong. And I was talking to Rick or somebody, my bait was just falling. And I felt him hit it. I just set the hook. I said, man, I wasn't even doing nothing. So I reeled the old fish in, and I took all that off. I put a pink, and it's funny. You know, fish don't – everything's the same. I don't care where you go. If you listen to people, what's happening. Me and you
yeah.
talk all the time. We're doing almost the same thing. We figured out we're like 100 miles away. So anyway, I put a pink little John on, and I went back to jigging, which I don't jig fish much no more. But once I dialed it back in, I said, okay, here's the deal right there. And you had to just flutter it, let it fall. And a lot of times, one time you'd either pick it up, and he's there. You don't even know it. Or you can hear him, feel him hit it on the fall.
Yeah.
But swim bait fishing, swimming it to you, they didn't want nothing to do with it, bro. Nothing. So that tells me there ain't no bite.
You know, and I saw that last week, man. You had to really hoochie-coo it to get any bites. I'm going, man, what is up with these fish?
Same,
usually you
same,
just get
same.
In the strike zone. It don't matter what you're doing with it. They're going to pile on it. And last week you had to really get pretty violent with that tip of that rod. You know, especially with a little John, because you know, it has no action on it. You got to create it yourself, and that's what I like about fishing with it.
That's what they wanted, that bait. That's what I put on.
That's what Charlie said yesterday. You know, that was it, Matagorda. That purple little John, they lit them up.
But it was pretty cool. I mean, you can stand there and you get bites. You know, you're throwing at fish. It was pretty. You know, you had to figure it out.
Sure.
Hey, man, change the angle a little bit. Turn around, throw down that thing. Quit throwing the same way. You feel one of them touches. So that's him, man. And they were real far out. I was at the top of my wires throwing as far as I could throw. And they wouldn't even pull up on that edge.
Yeah, we get a good water temp drop. Everything will start to congregate again. It's just, you know, you had that bad tide Monday that dropped really hard. And, I mean, that was a good winter tide. And, you know, spread them out a little bit. And we lost a lot of bait, and, you know, it's just, we just need a couple more to cool the water down and get those fish back up on the flats and get them piled in there together where you can lean on them again. Now, the hammer's got them, he's got them balled up somewhere over his way because he's had some really good catches the last 4 or 5 days.
Well, the place I'm fishing on the west end is the same thing he's fishing down there because I fished that bay. I mean, I know where they are.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same thing, same kind of thing. But they're congregated. I mean, they're right there. You know, we ain't fishing a big open area.
Right.
You know, like yesterday I'm fishing all big, giant, open area orcheries, kind of like the south, you know, like that end on Matagorda. And if you don't, you know, they're not drift forever and catch one. You know, get two bites. I mean, they're not piled up anywhere.
Right.
I saw a place yesterday. I caught one on a spoil bank. If I'd have been wading, I probably would have caught them.
Right.
They were tight, and at that time, that west wind was pushing me, and you can't stay there.
You can't work it right out of the boat. No, you can't.
100%. I caught one first cast. I looked and I thought to myself, man, if I had some guys that can wade right here, we would catch them.
Sure.
So, but it's still not good. I mean, it still ain't just drifting around out there where I catch them, but I would have caught them 100%.
Right. Oh, well.
So, but I ain't going to base. So I don't care what they catch. I'm just going to go swimming, man.
Fixing to go swimming.
Yeah, we'll go tomorrow. Goodness. It's still smoking down here, dude. It ain't like it's calm.
No, it's you got a little bit of wind down there this morning.
Hey, how about that hoo, dude? I took my hoo, Cameron cooked it night before last. Hell, it made myself sick.
That stuff is, you know, and you know, like cooking that, you got to be careful with it because you can overcook wahoo real quick. There's no fat in that meat. It's just white and lean meat, and you just sear it a couple of times on each side, it's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, well, Cameron pays attention. He, of course, I ain't never cooked nothing, but he does it right. And then we made, he was taking care of it. I was still cleaning up boats and getting ready for the next day. But he made us a bunch of sashimi, cut it real thin with some soy and some wasabi. Oh, dude. Yeah, that'd make you write a bad check right there.
Yeah, it will. Rhonda made a... the first night with it, she made like a Japanese and Asian dish with it, you know, with the rice and all the, you know, all the stuff she cut up to put in there and laid it over that bed of rice. Oh, man, you want to talk about serious.
I bet that was good.
And just pan-seared it with olive oil and butter and lemon and then laid it on that rice. Oh, man. I mean, I don't know if I could go to a restaurant and get a better meal than that. That was awesome.
I don't think you'll get no better. Hey, back to this flounder deal real quick. You know, yeah. Go. And I don't care about flounders. You can catch all of them. You can catch none. I don't care about none of them. But I'll tell you this. I have not seen flounder. And you know this is right. We haven't seen flounder fishing like this that I've had all summer. We engage what you and I do. We don't target flounder. We fish for lures, fishing for trout. And when you can catch what we're catching – We haven't done this, Mickey, in years.
No.
I'm still catching them. We catch 4-5 every day. Some might be small, some might be big. I don't know about the flounder deal. I don't know. I think these people better show up to that deal or you're not going to be catching any flounders.
They're wanting to shut it down in November and December is what it's all about.
And totally. Here's what's going to happen. You know what they want. They already got two in place, the two fish deal. So here's what you're going to end up with. No fishing in November, December, and the limit's going to be 2. That is what's going to happen. If they don't show up and do something about that, that's what people are going to be catching that are flounder fishing.
Right.
Because, you know, the 2's already there. It's real easy for them to say, okay, guys, it ain't 5, it's 2. In November, December, you don't fish at all. I mean, you can't keep any. So that is what's going to happen if they don't show up and do something about that. And that still may not work, but at least you got to make an effort.
They better show up and make their voices heard.
No and doubt. I'm just saying that for the flounder guys. It don't make me no difference. But our flounder fish has really been good this year, though, dude.
Well, I hadn't seen it this good since that year. I remember when you took Tom Dickerson that time. Y'all were waiting, and y'all caught like 80-something flounder.
We caught 80 flounder. We caught 11. Yeah. We caught
there was 8 of us. Trout fishing.
It was unbelievable. I mean, that's the most flounders I've ever caught. But, you know, and I think if we'd had fished in Trinity Bay like we normally do, used to wade and stuff, I guarantee you this year you'd have caught 10 or 12 flounders a day.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I think. But no, I don't think we're just in a little rut right now, brother.
All right, Plog. Well, hey, if somebody wants to get down there and get hooked up with you guys at Silver King, how they get a hold of you, man?
Come on, man. Get in on some of this slow action. What's going on? All right, man. 409-935-7242.
Hey, and thanks again for that wahoo. That was good stuff. Tell Cameron not to be so stingy next time. Tell him I need a load.
I will, dude.
Tell him I'll pay him for him. I don't care, man. That's some good stuff.
I'll always hook a brother up, man.
I know you will. And
I'll see you later, bro.
I got some of them cowboy cookies coming your way, too, bud.
Oh, I will drive over there and get them. Tell Rose
I heard
ready.
That. All right, man.
All right, man. See you later.
Later, James.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.